from the past. The blessedness of brokenness. Brokenness leads to blessedness. Three scriptures in the Psalm, please. Psalm 34. Psalm 34, verse 18. The blessedness of brokenness. Brokenness leads to blessedness. Psalm 34, verse 18. The Lord is nigh unto them that have a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Psalm 51. Verse 17. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Psalm 147, please. Verse 3. He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. The blessedness of brokenness. I was going to review a bit, but I won't. Book of Esther, please. Esther chapter 2. Esther chapter 2. Verse 21. Esther chapter 2, verse 21. In those days, while Mordecai sat in the king's gate, two of the king's eunuchs, Bigthan and Teresh, of those which kept the door, were angry and sought to lay hand on the king Ahasuerus. The thing was known to Mordecai, who told it unto Esther the queen. Esther told the king thereof in Mordecai's name. And when inquiry was made of the matter, it was found out to be so. Therefore, they were both hanged on a tree, and it was written in the book of the Chronicles before the king. Chapter 3, verse 1. After these things, did King Ahasuerus promote Haman the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, and advanced him and set his seat above all the princes that were with him. All the king's servants that were in the king's gate bowed and reverenced Haman, for the king had so commanded concerning him, but Mordecai bowed not down nor did him reverence. Then the king's servants, which were in the king's gate, said unto Mordecai, Why transgressest thou the king's commandment? It came to pass when they spake daily unto him, and he hearkened not unto them, that they told Haman to see whether Mordecai's matter would stand, for he had told them that he was a Jew. When Haman saw that Mordecai bowed not, nor did him reverence, Haman was full of anger. And he thought scornful to lay hands on Mordecai alone, for they had showed him the people of Mordecai. Wherefore Haman sought to destroy all the Jews that were throughout the whole kingdom of Ahasuerus, even the people of Mordecai. Verse 10. The king took his ring from his hand and gave it unto Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, the Jews' enemy. The king said unto Haman, the silver is given to thee, the people also, to do with them as it seemeth good to thee. Please note verse 10, the king took his ring from his hand and gave it to Haman. Very important. Chapter 5, please. Verse 12. Haman said, moreover, yea, Esther the queen did let no man come in with the king unto the banquet that she had prepared, but myself. Tomorrow am I invited unto her also with the king. Yet all this availeth me nothing so long as I see Mordecai the Jew sitting at the king's gate. Then Zeresh, his wife, said unto his friends and all his friends unto him, let a gallows be made of 50 cubits high, and tomorrow speak thou unto the king that Mordecai may be hanged thereon. Then go thou in merrily unto the king, unto the banquet. And the thing pleased Haman, and he caused the gallows to be made. Chapter 6, please. Verse 1. On that night, the king could not sleep. He commanded to bring the book of records of the Chronicles, and they were read before the king. It was found written that Mordecai had told Bigthana and Teresh, two of the king's eunuchs, the keepers of the door who sought to lay hand on King Ahasuerus. The king said, what honor and dignity has been done to Mordecai for this? Then said the king's servants that ministered unto him, nothing has been done for him. The king said, who is in the court? Now Haman was come into the court of the king's house to speak unto the king to hang Mordecai on the gallows that he had prepared for him. The king's servant said unto him, behold, Haman standeth in the court. And the king said unto him, let him come in. So Haman came in. The king said, what shall be done unto the man whom the king delights to honor? Now Haman thought in his heart, to whom would the king delight to do honor but to myself? He was a proud fellow, wasn't he? You know who are some of the proudest people in the world today? Physicians. I know of one physician, and when he entered the ward, his staff referred to him as God is coming in, and he accepted it. But pride, as we know, leads to a fall. Let's read on. Verse 7, Haman answered the king, for the man whom the king delights to honor, let the royal apparel be brought which the king useth to wear, and the horse that the king rides upon, and the crown royal which is set upon his head. Let this apparel and horse be delivered to the hand of one of the king's most noble princes, that they may array this man therewith, whom the king delighteth to honor, and bring him on horseback through the street of the city, and proclaim him. Thus shall it be done to the man whom the king delights to honor. And Haman thought he was the fellow. He must have been disappointed. Let's read on. Then the king said to Haman, make haste. Take the apparel and the horse, as thou hast said. Do even so to Mordecai the Jew that sits in the king's gate, let nothing fail of all that thou hast spoken. Then took Haman the apparel and the horse, and arrayed Mordecai, brought him on horseback through the street of the city, proclaimed before him, thus shall it be done unto the man whom the king delights to honor. Mordecai came again to the king's gate. But Haman hastened to his house, mourning and having his head covered. He was sad. But let's read on. Chapter 8, please. verse 2. And the king took off his ring, which he had taken from Haman, and gave it to Mordecai. What an exchange. The ring that the king gave to Haman, he took from Haman and gave to Mordecai. Haman must have felt very bad. Pride. And Esther set Mordecai over the house of Haman, verse 5, and said, if it please the king, and if I have found favor in his sight, and the thing seem right before the king, and I be pleasing in his eyes, let it be written to reverse the letters devised by Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, which he wrote to destroy the Jews, which are in all the provinces. Chapter 9. Verse 4. For Mordecai was great in the king's house. This is the man whom Haman had planned to kill. Surely he had suffered bitterness. Surely he had suffered much embarrassment. His fame went throughout all the provinces, for this man Mordecai waxed greater and greater. The blessedness of brokenness. Chapter 10, verse 2. And all the acts of his power and of his might, and the declaration of his greatness, of the greatness of Mordecai, whereunto the king advanced him, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Media and Persia? For Mordecai the Jew was next unto Ahasuerus, great among the Jews, acceptor of the multitude of his brethren, seeking the wealth of his people, and speaking peace to his seed. From brokenness to blessedness. Jeremiah, please. Book of Jeremiah. Chapter 1. You will remember that in the case of Joseph, he was hated by his brethren. They decided to kill him, and then they said, no, we'll make some money on him, so they sold him. And then he was in prison. Surely he was broken. But in the end, he became next to Pharaoh in the rule of Egypt, from brokenness to blessedness. Jeremiah chapter 1, please. Verse 4. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, that is Jeremiah, saying, before I formed thee in the womb, I knew thee. We could talk a lot about that, but we won't. Before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Then said I, ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak. I am a child. But the Lord said unto me, say not, I am a child. Thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whosoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces. Oh, Jeremiah, you're going to meet opposition. But don't be afraid. For I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. And the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. The Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. See, I have this day set thee over nations and over the kingdoms, to root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant. But God had warned Jeremiah, you're going to be in trouble. You're going to have a lot of opposition. Chapter 2, please. Verse 8. Then the priest said, "Where is the Lord?" And they that handled the law knew me. The pastors transgressed against me, and the prophets prophesied by Baal, and walked not after the things that profit. Wherefore I will yet plead with you, saith the Lord, and with your children's children. For pass over the isles of Chittim and see. Send unto Kedar and consider diligently, and see if there be anything. Hath the nation changed their gods, which are no gods? My people have changed their glory for that which is not glory. Is Israel a servant? Verse 14. Is he a homeborn slave? Why is he spoiled? Chapter 11. Verse 18. And the Lord has given me knowledge of it, and I know it. Then thou showest me their doings. I was like a lamb or an ox that is brought to the slaughter. I knew not that they had devised against me, saying, "Let us destroy the tree with the fruit thereof. Let us cut him off from the land of the living, that his name be no more remembered." That's their attitude, and that's what they wanted to do. Jeremiah. But O Lord of hosts, that judgest righteously, that triest the reins and the heart, let me see thy vengeance on them, for unto thee have I revealed my cause. Chapter 15, verse 10. Woe, this is Jeremiah. He's been under a lot of opposition. Woe is me, my mother, that thou hast borne me a man of strife and a man of contention to the whole earth. I have neither lent on usury, nor have men lent unto me on usury, yet every one of them doth curse me. The Lord said, "Verily it shall be well with thy remnant. Verily I will cause the enemy to entreat thee well in the time of evil and in the time of affliction." And we go on. Verse 50. O Lord, thou knowest, remember me and visit me and revenge me of my persecutors. Jeremiah's prayer. Chapter 17, please. Verse 14. Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved. Thou art my praise. Behold, they say unto me, "Where is the word of the Lord? Let it now come." As for me, I have not hastened from being a pastor to follow thee. Neither have I desired the woeful days, thou knowest. That which came out of my lips was right before thee. Be not a terror unto me, thou art my hope. Let them be confounded that persecute thee. He didn't have it easy at all. There were those that persecuted him. Chapter 18, please. Verse 18. Then said they, "Come and let us use devices against Jeremiah. For the law shall not perish from the priest, nor counsel from the wise, nor the word from the prophet. Come and let us smite him with the tongue. Let us not give heed to any of his words. Give heed to me, O Lord, and hearken to the voice of them that contend with me." That's the prayer of Jeremiah. "Shall evil be recompensed for good? They have digged a pit for my stove." Things are pretty bad with Jeremiah. They didn't like him. They hated him. Remember, I stood before thee to speak good for them and to turn away thy wrath. Therefore, deliver up their children to the famine, pour out their blood by the force of the sword, let their wives be bereaved of their children, be widows, and let their men be put to death, let their young men be slain by the sword. Let a cry be heard from their houses when thou shalt bring a troop suddenly upon them. They have digged a pit to take me in. Jeremiah went through a whole lot. Went through a lot. Chapter 20, verse 7. O Lord, thou hast deceived me, and I was deceived. Thou art stronger than I, and hast prevailed. I am in derision daily, everyone mocks me. Jeremiah was really broken. He was in a bad way. Since I spake, I cried out, I cried violently, because the word of the Lord was made a reproach unto me and a derision. Then said I will not make mention of him nor speak more in his name. But his word was in my heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones. I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. Chapter 26, please. I'm reading all of these to show us what Jeremiah went through. Chapter 26, verse 8. Now it came to pass, when Jeremiah had made an end of speaking all that the Lord had commanded him to speak, that the priests and the prophets and all the people took him, saying, thou shalt surely die. Surely things weren't present with Jeremiah. Why hast thou prophesied in the name of the Lord, saying, this house shall be like Shiloh, this city shall be desolate without an inhabitant? And all the people were gathered against Jeremiah in the house of the Lord. Verse 11. Then spake the priests and the prophets unto the princes and to all the people, saying, this man is worthy to die, for he hath prophesied against this city, as you have heard with your ears. Then spake Jeremiah unto all the people, saying, the Lord sent me to prophesy against this house and against this city all the words that you have heard. Therefore now amend your ways and your doings. Obey the voice of the Lord your God, and the Lord will repent him of the evil that he has done. Verse 14. As for me, I am in your hand. Do with me whatever you want. I think you will admit with me that Jeremiah really went through plenty. But we must read on. Chapter 37. Chapter 37, verse 11. It came to pass that when the army of the Chaldeans was broken up from Jerusalem for fear of Pharaoh's army, then Jeremiah went forth out of Jerusalem to go to the land of Benjamin to separate himself thence in the midst of the people. And when he was in the gate of Benjamin, a captain of the ward was there, whose name was Arijah, the son of Shemaliah, the son of Hananiah, and he took Jeremiah the prophet, saying, you are defecting to the Chaldeans. Then said Jeremiah, it is false. I am not defecting to the Chaldeans. But he hearkened not to him, took Jeremiah, brought him to the princes. Wherefore the princes were angry with Jeremiah and smote him, put him in prison in the house of Jonathan for they had made that the prison. When Jeremiah was entered into the dungeon and into the cells, Jeremiah remained there many days. Verse 21. Then Zedekiah the king commanded that they should commit Jeremiah into the court of the prison, that they should give him a daily piece of bread out of the baker's feet until all the bread in the city was done. Thus, Jeremiah remained in the court of the prison. He surely didn't have a pleasant life. He surely was broken. I think we all would admit. Shall we read some more? Let's read a little more. Chapter 38, verse 6. Then took they Jeremiah and cast him into the dungeon of Malchiah, the son of Hamalek, and that was in the court of the prison. They let down Jeremiah with cords, and in the dungeon there was no water but mire. So Jeremiah sank in the mire. My. Now when Ebed-Melech, the Ethiopian, one of the eunuchs which was in the king's house, heard that they had put Jeremiah in the dungeon, the king then sitting in the gate of Benjamin, Ebed-Melech went forth out of the king's house and spoke to his king, saying, My lord the king, these men have done evil in all that they have done to Jeremiah the prophet, whom they have cast into the dungeon. He is like to die for hunger in the place where he is, for there is no more bread in the city. Now, that's pretty low, isn't it? In the dungeon and no food. And what did Jeremiah, why was Jeremiah placed there? Because he spoke the word of the Lord. We read on. Then the king commanded Ebed-Melech, the Ethiopian, saying, Take from thence 30 men with thee, take up Jeremiah the prophet out of the dungeon before he died. So Ebed-Melech took the men with him, went into the house of the king under the treasury, took thence old rags and old cloths, let them down by cords into the dungeon. And Ebed-Melech, the Ethiopian, said to Jeremiah, Put now these old cloths and rotten rags under thy armpits. 13. So they drew Jeremiah up with the cords and took him up out of the dungeon, and Jeremiah remained in the court of the prison. I wonder how many of us here would go through all that Jeremiah went through for the sake of the word of the Lord. I often wonder about myself. What would I do? Suppose I had been in Russia where they were killing believers because they were believers. Would I stand up and say I'm a believer? Or would I deny the Lord even as Peter did? But we read on. Chapter 39, verse 15. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah while he was shut up in the court of the prison. Oh, God is so good. There he is in prison, but God communicates with him. You remember Paul and Silas? They were in prison. And as one further put it, they sang a duet. I wonder what I would do if I were put in prison for the sake of the Lord. I wonder if I would complain. And this reminds me of a brother, you've heard of him, Brother Arthur Clark. By the communists, he was a worker in China. They put him in solitary confinement for 3 months. What would you do? And he asked the guard, just let me have my Bible, a pencil, and a notebook. And for a long time, he wanted to write a treatise, a commentary on the Psalms. 3 months in solitary confinement, and he told me the rats ran over it. It's terrible. He wrote a commentary on the Psalms. Many of you know it. One of the best, in my judgment, that was ever written. Jeremiah in jail. Chapter 40, please. Verses 1 and 2. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord after Nebuchadnezzar, the captain of the guard, had let him go from Ramah, where he had taken him, being bound in chains among all that were carried away captive of Jerusalem and Judah, which were carried away captive into Babylon. And the captain of the guard took Jeremiah and said unto him, The Lord thy God hath pronounced this evil upon this place. Chapter 42. And I think this will be the ending of our reading in Jeremiah. But I believe that by now we are all convinced that Jeremiah went through much for the sake of the Lord. In prison, in a dungeon, little or no food. Again, I ask, how would I take that? I wonder if I would deny the Lord and say, no, I'm not a Christian. The story is told, and this happened in communist Russia years ago. A number of believers were seated together, and this man came in with a gun and said, All of you that believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, get up and get out before I shoot you. And no one left. And then he sat down and said, I'm one of you. It takes courage. And I ask myself again, would I stand where my situation like Jeremiah is? Now, let's go to chapter 43, please. Verse 1. It came to pass that when Jeremiah had made an end of speaking unto all the people all the words of the Lord their God, for which the Lord their God had sent him to them, even all these words, then spake Azariah the son of Hoshaiah, and Johanan the son of Kariah, and all the proud men, saying unto Jeremiah, Thou speakest falsely. The Lord our God has not sent thee to say, Go not into Egypt to sojourn there. But Baruch the son of Neriah setteth thee on against us to deliver us into the hand of the Chaldeans, that they might put us to death and carry us away captive into Babylon. So Johanan the son of Kariah and all the captains of the forces and all the people obeyed not the voice of the Lord that dwelled in the land of Judah. But Johanan the son of Kariah and all the captains of the forces took all the remnant of Judah that were returned from all nations whither they had been driven to dwell in the land of Judah. Even men and women and children, the king's daughters, every person that Nebuchadnezzar, the captain of the guard, had left with Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, and Jeremiah the prophet, and Baruch, the son of Neriah. So they came into the land of Egypt. This is the last that we are told in the Bible as to the location of Jeremiah. He prophesied after that, but we don't know what happened to Jeremiah. We don't know where he died. We don't know the conditions under which he died. David's brothers didn't like him. He was persecuted. Saul tried to kill him, but in the end, God elevated him. Joseph was elevated. Mordecai was elevated. But we don't read where Jeremiah was ever elevated on earth. What do you think happened to him? There's no record. A man that suffered as he suffered, there's no record of what happened to him. What do you think happened to him? Did God forget him? I ask again, did God forget Jeremiah? Now let's look and see the God that we have to deal with. Do you think he forgot Jeremiah? This man that went through so much in prison, in the dungeon, without food, without water, bound in chains, all because he told the truth. And then we don't know what happened to him. You think the Lord forgot it? Doesn't tell us anything about it. But let's look at a few scriptures and see if we can come to some conclusion as to Jeremiah's end. Romans chapter 8, please. Romans chapter 8. Verse 14. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. We'll have to talk about that verse sometime too. We have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but we have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. If children, then heirs. Heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that may be glorified. Did Jeremiah suffer? Think he's going to be glorified? I have a feeling that his is coming. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Oh, beloved, our day is coming. And there's so many in the world today, in various parts of the world, suffering for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are exhorted to pray for them. And we may be suffering in this nation because of Christ. There are groups of people who hate us. Did you know that? And would gladly kill us. The ACLU. The Now Movement and Planned Parenthood, as nice as those names may sound, they would kill every Christian if they were given an opportunity. But God has spared us. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. No record of Jeremiah. And what happened to him? 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Verse 8. Now he that plants and he that waters are one. Every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. I take comfort in that. Jeremiah is going to get his. And we, beloved, will also get ours as we labor and serve the Lord. And you know, many of us work. Nobody pays attention. I think of the books that are laid out here. There are believers here, and among many of them children, who put the books down and take them up. You think God, does God notice that? I think of the fellowship time that we just had, where our sisters prepared such fine, what shall I say, meals, food. You think God recognizes that? And those Sunday school teachers, and I see these children come in with their little leaflets, Bible stories and Bible pictures. Your labor is not in vain in the Lord. I think of a sister in New York She was a nurse by profession. And from time to time, she would play the organ. Came to the meeting, nice lady. Nothing remarkable about her. But then she took sick and died. And I remember I called her up at the hospital. And the nurse taking care of me, of her, said, "She thanks you for the call, but she's too sick to hold the conversation." 3 or 4 days later, she died. And we were amazed at what this sister was doing. She took it upon herself to visit the shut-ins, to shop for them, to take them to the doctor, and various other little items. We never knew it. She was gone. Now who was going to do it? I wonder if God knew it. I wonder if God took notice of it. I believe he did. Just as he took notice of Jeremiah and all that he had done. 1 Corinthians 15 and 58. Oh, I like this one. "Therefore, my beloved brethren and sisters, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know, your labor is not in vain." God sees. He knows what you're doing. Others may not see. And if they see, they don't recognize it as being what God knows. And your labor in him is not in vain. Jeremiah's labors were known. And I do believe that God has his reward for Jeremiah. 1 Peter chapter 1. Verses 10 and 11. "Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come upon you, searching what manner or what time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow." You may be working now, ignored, overlooked. God knows, and the glory will follow. 1 Peter chapter 4. Verses 12 and 13. "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you." Anybody here on a fiery trial? In your private life? In your place at work? Even in school? Oh my, I can tell you this, you can have a whole lot of trial in school. Whole lot of bitter trial. I remember, even after school, we have scientific meetings. And before the scientific meetings, they always served what was called a collation. And for the collation which they served, you did not need teeth. The collation was all fluid. And I would walk in and they would say, "Here comes Garnes. He only drinks water." You suffer a lot at the hands of your co-workers, the hands of your neighbors. But as I like to say, your reward in heaven is sure. "Though dark may be the way, since he is my guide, 'tis mine to obey and his to provide. Brokenness ultimately leads to blessedness." I think I will stop. And there's one hymn, yes, 603. Does Jesus care? Jeremiah suffered so much. Did the Lord care? He doesn't say anything about it. He doesn't give him any reward on earth. Oh, beloved, be encouraged. Does Jesus care? When my heart is pained too deeply for mirth and song, as the burdens pressed and the cares distressed, and the way grows weary and long, oh, yes, he cares. Be encouraged, beloved. There are difficulties along the way, but be encouraged. The Lord cares, and your reward in heaven is sure. Thank you, Sister Kelly. And one day I'm going to see him. How about you? You want to know something else? And that's why I was never interested in cosmetic surgery. I'm going to look like him. Oh, my. One day Arthur Barnes will be handsome. What a thought. Shall we pray? Holy Father, with joy and with reverence we bow in thy presence divine. How we give thee thanks for our Lord Jesus Christ and the work which he accomplished on Calvary. How we thank thee for thy precious word and the Holy Spirit who teaches us thy word, that in spite of the cares and the problems here below, one day we shall see the Lord, be with him, be like him. Our Savior does care. Till then, keep us cleaving to thy cross and still believing. Dismiss us now, we pray thee, with thy blessing resting upon us as we give thee thanks. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, amen.